Hello and welcome back to Shannon's Corner. I am Shannon Devereaux Sanford, and thank you so much for joining us today. And don't go anywhere, because we're going to talk to Elizabeth Scarborough, and she has written a wonderful book called My Foreign Cities, a memoir. It has been Book of the Week with Oprah Magazine, O Magazine, Best Book 2013 by San Francisco Chronicle. And when she was just 17, Elizabeth Scarborough fell in love with irresistible Stephen. She also knew that he had cystic fibrosis and was expected to have a rather short life. And this is the book about their life together, because it really was a true love story. And I think that it really opens up an awful lot of questions about love and about certainty and about embracing life. And it's really, you know, in a way, it's very sad, but it's also so inspiring. It's a wonderful book. And I certainly understand why it is the best book of 2013. And I want to welcome Elizabeth Scarborough to Shannon's Corner. How are you today?
Good. Thank you so much for having me. I'm very happy to be here.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so thrilled that you joined us. This has gotten such wonderful reviews. As I said, Oprah, the Book of the Week from O Magazine, Best Book of 2013. And, you know, it is a love story, but it is so much more than that. Just to tell our listeners that when you fell in love with Stephen, you knew he had cystic fibrosis and had a very short time to live. And you guys were teenagers, you know, short time at that point, 30, 35, maybe 40 if he was lucky, somewhere around there. Really seemed probably not so short. I mean, when we're teenagers, 30 seems so far away, you know.
Yes.
But, you know, it turned out to be rather a short time. But what you learn during that short time and what you give to the readers is just, it's just something so valuable. But when you were living it and you were having this wonderful love affair and this wonderful life with him, was there something in the back of your mind that you always thought this is going to be over soon?
Yes. I think that we both always knew, you know, that our time was limited, and I think that affects you in kind of strange ways. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, you sort of think that it would be this terrible thing hanging over you, but I think when it's your daily reality, you know, you do feel sad about it, but you also feel really compelled to live fully together as much as you can, and just to not just value the time you have, but really use the time you have. You don't feel like you have a lot of excuses to put things off.
You had some really good years there. I mean, you really had some wonderful carefree years that you never had to think about his being sick, right?
That's right. We definitely had a lot of time where he was in really good health, and we were from Colorado, so we did lots of, you know, climbing mountains and biking and hiking and all kinds of things. We were pretty adventurous in that kind of way.
So you got married. You thought about having children. In fact, there was a wonderful article, one of my favorite New York Times regular columns, Modern Love, which is in the Sunday Times, is always terrific, by the way. And your column was absolutely wonderful. And it was back, I think, like 2009 that you wrote that, right?
Yes, it was a while ago.
Yeah. Okay. And you talked about when he, which, by the way, I'm not giving anything away by saying he did pass away.
No.
But you had taken his sperm and decided you already had one child, right?
I had two, actually, by that
point.
You had two. That's right, yeah. And I was remarried.
Mm.
Right. When Stephen died, a friend said to me at the last minute, you know, there's this possibility where you can take his sperm and freeze it. And it sort of sounded crazy, but also like, a lot of hope in that idea. And so I did that. And then many years went by, actually, and they contacted me. You know, I was remarried and I had kids, and I got a letter saying, you know, we still have this frozen sample. What do you want to do with it?
Wow.
Wow.
I mean, that's hard.
I knew it was there, but I kept putting off doing something with it, because as much as I knew I probably wouldn't have children with it, it felt so final to get rid of it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's a tough decision. But your life with Stephen, although it's wonderful and it's a wonderful love story and it's full of wonderful hope, but it also kind of walks this line between death and life the whole time. I mean, you always knew that you were on this tightrope walking and never sure when it was really going to end, right?
Exactly. And, you know, interestingly, he lived like that his entire life. I mean, I think he knew from a very young age that he wouldn't have a normal life expectancy. And so he always lived with death in mind. And he was pretty upfront about that and pretty pragmatic. We had lots of conversations about, okay, well, you know, after I die, or, oh, I probably won't live long enough for that. He would talk like that quite freely, just because that was his reality. And I think he was very much someone who just embraced what was happening and didn't really deny it. You know, I think that's how he coped with it, was to just say, okay, this is how it is.
Did you have a tendency to say, oh, don't be silly, you're going to be fine, or did you just agree with him?
Oh, I think, I never thought he'd probably be fine, but I was always wanting to say, oh, you never know.
Right.
You never know. And that is true. But the likelihood was that he wouldn't, you know, live a full life. But he did get a double lung transplant, and after that, you know, theoretically you can live a normal life. So after that, I think we thought slightly differently about things.
But he did not live too long after that, or did he?
No, it was about 2 years after that.
Yeah, oh. Ouch. And then, of course, you know, you have to go into the part of caretaking for him, of the really sad part of being there, watching somebody you love that was so full of life. And yes, you knew they were going to die, but knowing it and watching it are really two different things. And although, as I said earlier, this book is really inspiring, and it's sad, but it's also the inspiration that I gathered from it is that sort of be here now, that mm-hmm. appreciate life at the moment. Is that what you learned?
I did, and I'm so, it's just thrilling to hear that that's what you got from it, because I was hoping to convey that, you know, and hoping to convey that even when life is difficult, it's worth it. You know, I would never trade any of the time that I had with Stephen.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, nobody gets out alive.
Right.
You know, I mean, you know, Stephen just left
sure.
us a little bit sooner.
That's
now,
right.
You are remarried, have children.
Yes.
Do you look at your husband and think, oh, my God, this is going to be over soon? Or is that all gone? Is that the last chapter of your life?
No, you know, I can't help it. I often think, I'm not sure how long he'll be here, even though there's no reason for me to think
right.
that he's healthy. But, you know, I don't really think it in a scared way. I just think of it more like in a maybe appreciative way. Like, I'm not sure, you know, I guess I'll appreciate him now because I don't know how long we'll get to have together. I think more than most people, I find myself saying if, not when, you know, like, okay, well, if we live till 70 or 80 together, I'm not comfortable saying when in that case.
Yeah. Does that drive your husband a little crazy or?
You know, he's okay with it only because I think if I was worried, that would drive
right.
him crazy.
Right. Well, as I say, this is such an inspirational story, and many people, the reviews have been absolutely wonderful. More expected in this writer's intelligent and gripping honesty. And that's part of it. I mean, it's such a gripping honesty. And people have called you an angel for this, marrying him, taking care of him, going through the death. But did you feel like an angel, or did you just feel like a woman in love?
No, I did not feel like an angel, and I didn't want to.
Mm.
You know, I just felt like someone in a pretty difficult situation. But I'm glad that you feel like it was honest. I wanted to also give that for people who might also be going through any kind of difficult circumstance
mm-hmm.
to be honest about those times, because I think that it's hard to do that publicly.
It is.
Yeah, especially
it
when
is.
You don't blame someone for their illness. It's certainly not their fault, and you don't really want to complain about your marriage when it's no one's done anything wrong.
Was there ever a time you blamed him?
I don't think I blamed him, but I did get sure frustrated with the illness, and we fought over it. You know, we had all kinds of fights.
Mm.
I mean, you always do in a marriage,
right.
but
it's true.
Yeah.
It's true. I mean, that's hard not to do. I mean, if there's any difference between you want to be angry at for not being, you know, people that say that it never bothered me if whatever was different about the relationship, it always, most of us want perfection. And
yeah.
of course it bothers us because if we're happy, we want to be fully happy. We don't want to have to accept the limitations. And in many relationships, there are limitations of all different sorts.
Oh,
and this
everyone.
One, absolutely.
Yeah.
And this was an obvious one. How did he take dying? Was he prepared?
You know, I think he was, and I never believed him ahead of time. He always said, you know, I'm not scared to die. And I would think, well, yeah, let's see when it comes. You
right.
know, everyone feels that way. But watching him die, I don't think he was scared. I wouldn't say he was ready to leave. But when it came to the actual time, he got an infection. He got a bad form of pneumonia. So it was really only a 3-week period, which was, I mean, I'm so grateful that it wasn't sort of this very steady, slow decline, because I think that that's so much rougher.
Yeah.
So he, you know, he was living fully until those last 3 weeks. But he was more ready than I was. I mean, I wasn't even admitting that that's where we were.
Yeah.
But luckily, we had a wonderful doctor who had been with us all along, you know, who took me aside and said, I think this is what's happening. And
it's a tough one. It's a tough one. And I mean, but the book is such an inspirational. And as I said, for everyone, I mean, this is part of life. Death is part of life. To experience
really
it such like this and be able to put it down the way you have put it down is inspiring. It's as they say, it's grippingly honest. The book is My Foreign Cities. Elizabeth Scarborough, thank you so much for joining us and writing this brilliant book for everyone. And everyone, it is on Shannon's Corner. There's a direct link to your website so you can get the book, learn more about you. And again, it's My Foreign Cities. Elizabeth Scarborough, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
It's been terrific. Thank you so much. Again, everything is on Shannon's Corner, which you can just go to WTBQ and get and have to leave today. But until next time, don't forget to make good choices.